Hello, and welcome back to Lab Water Stories Unfiltered. I'm Monica Jock, your host, a scientist, and a scientific writer for the life science business of Merck KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany. In this podcast, we're speaking about something that is the unsung hero of nearly every laboratory, yet often operates as its lifeblood. You guessed it, lab water. Last time, we discussed how water purification systems can boost a facility's sustainability efforts. This week, we'll hear how labs are digitalizing to ensure their workflows, and water flows are always on the go. To illustrate the impact of digitalizing lab water, my guest today has an interesting story from a hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. I'd like to welcome Kai Lin, or Kai, Regidor. Kai is a field service engineer working with the Millikiw Lab Water Solutions portfolio. Kai, how are you doing today?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. Glad to be here.
Kai, can you give us a short introduction and explanation? How does one digitalize a laboratory?
Sure, yeah. So lab digitalization means that the key systems and instruments are connected to the cloud. Lab workers can monitor their equipment and can be reassured that everything is working as expected without necessarily being on site. Sometimes they'll even control their systems, change settings as needed, etc. It usually also means that key data is being automatically saved, which can be important for traceability and is a big time saver during audits. And also important for the labs I've seen, it can give peace of mind to the lab manager because they get notified if any issue appears, which also helps them resolve problems faster. And we all know time is money, so it is awesome.
Oh, for sure. So in your role as a service engineer, what's been your personal experience with labs and digitalization? And I guess since that's your area of expertise, their decision to connect their water systems.
Yeah, even though I'm fairly new to the field, I've already seen and experienced the positive impacts of digitalization and what it's had on both the customers and the field engineers like me. I'm referring to both time and money savings, of course. To kind of give some perspective, I oversee and am the primary engineer in Alabama and Georgia. Here in the United States, we have many, many systems in my territory. So it's crucial that we harness the power of digitalization to optimize where we spend our time and help our customers faster.
How's this? What do you mean?
Yeah. So for example, if a customer calls with a question and their system is connected to the cloud, like I had alluded before, they can let me look at their system's data in the cloud. Sometimes I can manage the problem remotely by adjusting a software setting, or I simply advise the customer on what they need to do. Communication is absolutely key. Of course, if it's a hardware issue, I may still need to visit in person, but at least I may have a better idea of what tools to bring. And for me, this is cool because I save time on the road, and what really matters is that it gets the problem solved faster.
That sounds pretty win-win to me, Kai.
It really is. It is very, very win-win. I can give you the specific example of a hospital in Atlanta who has two high-flow pure water systems feeding their clinical analyzers. These analyzers use pure water to perform the tests that doctors order for their patients. Blood tests, urine tests, whatever the doctors have ordered to care for their patients.
Okay, so it sounds kind of important that this lab doesn't have any hiccups in their water supply. Right?
Totally. These types of clinical labs have to avoid any downtime at all costs because patient health is at stake. And this affects me because calls I receive from these sorts of labs, clients' accounts are often quite urgent.
Yeah, 911 call.
Yeah.
So this sounds a little bit stressful for the lab staff, and I'm guessing for you too. So, let's get back to what you were saying about this particular hospital in Atlanta.
Oh, yes. Where was I? So, as we've said, a constant pure water supply is absolutely critical to patient care in the hospital. But this particular system is tucked away in a utility closet, so they're not as easy to keep an eye on. if there's an alert on the screen, it's unlikely someone will see it because of the out-of-the-way location. They take resistivity readings, but it's still kind of tucked away. It's a big reason why the lab decided to connect their water system so they can get a digital alert if a system needs attention and then act on it quickly.
Yeah, sounds convenient. And so how did connecting their system help them keep things on the go, as we say?
Yeah, so one day the lab manager received an alert for a water quality issue sent from her system. It said that the water entering the tank had low resistivity, which means higher than normal ion concentration. She called tech support to help her solve the problem, and then tech support contacted me, the designated service engineer.
Okay, and what do you do then?
Thanks to lab remote care connection, which we were alluding to, and the system serial number that the customer gave to tech support, I'm able to log into my MilliQ to review the water system details and started studying the situation before even speaking to the customer. I looked at what we call the RO health trend, which gave me a general idea of the problem. The graph that I can see that trends the data showed me that the systems were working fewer hours than expected.
Huh. That's not intuitively sounding like a bad thing. So what's the issue here?
Yeah. So the bad thing, basically the customer wasn't using enough water to keep their purification resins healthy. The technology requires that the resins be saturated for optimal use. They bought the systems as the hospital was being built and had planned to use more water than they actually were. So the electrodeionization or EDI resin beads weren't being kept saturated as they need to be. It was this that caused the decline in resistivity. Even though the change in resistivity was within specifications, a decrease in resistivity can be concerning and eventually affect the clinical analyzers. So it was a good thing she called.
Huh. And so you saw all this before you even called her. I'm guessing at some point you actually called her.
Yes.
Next step, right?
Yes, I called the customer after seeing this trend in the data because it is not a common issue. And I asked her to let me to remote into the system.
Remote in? What's that?
Yeah. To remote in means she needed to consent my access by tapping a button on the system screen. Then I could directly work on the problem. So I was able to remotely connect into her system. In the end, I was able to adjust some software settings to create a new distribution schedule for each system that would ensure the EDI resins were optimally saturated.
Wow, that sounds really cool, all from a distance. And so this is a hospital. The lab handles patient data with their clinical analyzers. So I'm hearing alarm bells. Is there any concern from the privacy perspective?
No, absolutely not. We do get those concerns often, but I can only see water system and water quality data, nothing related to the analyzer output. And I think that gives a lot of peace of mind to our customers as well.
Okay, good. And so you fully solved the problem from the comfort of your home office, right? No need to visit and confirm in person that everything was going according to your master plan?
Yeah, it was 100% a digital solution, which means I avoided the two-hour drive both ways, and the customer has that peace of mind again that their system is working, that they don't need to worry.
That's great, Kay. So this sounds really cool, and given all the travel time you're able to save, I suspect that digitalization may have some sustainability benefits too, at least from the gas consumption point of view. And so I hope someone's doing the math on this one. In any case, this was a great and illustrative story, Kai, and I want to really thank you for sharing it with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it. It sounds like lab digitalization is win-win for everyone involved. The lab can be reassured their systems are productive, and if an issue arises, engineers like Kai can dive right into troubleshooting. And if a problem comes down to software, it could potentially be a quick remote fix, saving time and money for the customer and maybe avoiding some car time for the service engineer.
Are ghost peaks haunting your chromatograms? Perhaps unstable bass lines are throwing you off tilt. Did the band in your gel pull a vanishing act? Or you can't reproduce another lab's results? Maybe it all comes down to troubled waters. In this segment, we'll troubleshoot some of these frustrating scientific predicaments with the help of our lab water experts. Today's expert is Flora Bouy, joining us from France. Flora is a technical marketing manager who supports the Millikiw Lab Water Solutions portfolio. Hi, Flora. Thanks for joining us. Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you very much for having me on your podcast, Monica. First, I'd like to do a quick shout out to Onur, my dear colleague from Turkey. He was supposed to be on this podcast, but unfortunately couldn't make it. So here I am. So I'm an engineer in analytical chemistry. And during my professional life, I went through different phases as a technical sales manager, as well as a technical expert for food testing. And today, here I am as a tactical marketing manager for different regions and supporting them for deploying, you know, strategy in their regions.
Great. And can you tell me, as part of your job in calming troubled waters, what troubled waters did you encounter with Onur?
So this is a nice story, I would say. An ISO 17025 accredited laboratory in Dubai was developing a phosphate method with test kit. So this ISO accreditation is for laboratory who needs to ensure the accuracy and reliability of their testing and calibration result. So this lab was trying to detect very low level of phosphate and needed a very sensitive analysis to do this.
And so what exactly were the type of samples this lab was analyzing?
So this laboratory scope is to test food and water to assure quality and safety. One of the analyses the lab performed is phosphate determination in food samples. Indeed, phosphate is a preservative frequently employed in food products, but it should be used in controlled amounts. So you can often find it in beers or carbonated soft drinks that comes in red packaging.
Uh-huh. And so what was the issue in detecting phosphate levels in the lab? Why was it a problem?
In fact, they were able to successfully measure higher concentration of phosphate. But when they tried to assess low phosphate levels, they found that the test lacked sensitivity. And they were using ultra-pure water for one of a water purification system in the testing process. It was used to dilute the reference standard, and also it was used as a blank. But they consistently detected phosphate in the blanks. So they naturally suspected the ultra-pure water was the source of the contamination. And they thought the water system was somehow not working properly or releasing phosphate. And hence, they called my colleague, Onur, who manages our Millikiw system in this region.
Okay, so how did Onur go about investigating this issue? And how did you get involved all the way from France?
Well, I got involved because first, I'm easily bribed with dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm, I understand that.
And two, my role as a tactical marketing manager is to support his team. So here I am, you know, replacing Onur. So coming back to the investigation, Onur and his team began by making sure the water purification system was working properly. And I do confirm that it was.
Yay. I'm glad to hear that.
Right.
So what was the next step?
The next step was starting asking many questions to the customer about each step in the lab analysis to try to troubleshoot it and potentially find the source of the contamination. After many questions, we decided to ask the laboratory to try the analysis with brand new glassware, and they dispense freshly produced ultra-pure water into new, clean containers and repeated the determination. And I'm glad to say it worked.
Eureka.
There was no phosphate detected in the water samples.
Fantastic. So the mystery begins to unravel. It seems pretty clear that the problem was with their original glassware, no? Was it just getting too old?
Not exactly the glassware itself, but how they were cleaning the containers. We figured out that the culprit was the cleaning agent, which contained, phosphate, and was leaving traces in their glassware.
It seems so obvious in retrospect. And so what did you recommend?
So naturally, we recommended the customer to use a phosphate-free cleaning agent, and I'm glad to say the problem disappeared.
Great work. Great work, Flora, owner, and the whole team. I'm so happy to hear you were able to calm this lab's troubled waters with a little sleuthing and a rather simple-sounding solution. And with that, we've reached the end of this episode and this podcast series. Let us know your thoughts in the comments, give this podcast a rating, and share it with whomever you think might be interested. And if you want to reach out to discuss your lab's water situation, or you have a story to share, drop me an email at monica.jock@merckgroup.com. That's J-O-C-H. Thanks again for listening. The life science business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany, operates as MilliporeSigma in the US and Canada.